Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
Good evening, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you're listening to Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. Got to get that intro fixed. This is just our wonderful get-together on Thursday night. I have my glass of sweet iced tea in my hand, and it is a beautiful night. How are you doing tonight, my lady?
I'm doing very well. I'm sitting here. I'm visiting my good friend Lisa down at the Jersey Shore this evening, and we are just having a really quiet, relaxing day. We bummed around the house and did very much like nothing. Watch some movies, and I don't think I ever changed out of my jammies today. So for me, it was a really good day. And now I've got a couple of hot tea and I'm so cute.
Well, excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a pretty good day.
Well, it's the first one in a really long time that was that relaxing, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Very cool. Well, I've got to get me one of those sometime soon. All right, so tonight we are going to be taking callers. And we always offer to take callers, but tonight we are actively encouraging people to call in and join the show. And we're going to be talking about the Sabbath just passed this weekend. We're going to be talking about Lunasa. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear from people about how they celebrate it. And we're going to talk about our celebration, and we're going to be, we got a few people that have said they're going to call in. And we're just going to talk about the Sabbath, the meanings of the Sabbath, some of the deeper issues, things to carry forward during the season. Mm-hmm. Because just because we celebrated the Sabbath doesn't mean that, okay, well, we're done now. No, it's about the season that we're entering, mm-hmm. And that's the important thing that we need to remember is that celebrating the Sabbath launches the season. So we're now into the Lunasa season, and there's a lot of opportunities for spiritual growth for the next 6 or 7 weeks before the equinox. And the next celebration mm-hmm. to learn and grow and to, just get a handle on things. So we're going to talk about some of that. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I was going to say something, but you obviously weren't done. Okay. Go ahead. It's okay.
Go ahead. No, I was. I'm done. Jump in.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I think that people forget that each season has its lessons to teach that should be taken away, and they're not the same lessons every year. You're meant to be moving forward and learning new lessons with each season. And from year to year, they may differ slightly. But still be under the same basic category. I know one of the things that you and I have talked about that this time of year is it's the first harvest, and it is the time to really start collecting or reaping things that you have been working on and seeing what things, this time to make adjustments, what things need to be done in order to reap the full harvest. For the next two holidays, take me through to the last harvesting of whatever I'm working on, whatever ideas I've got going, whatever I've been trying to get accomplished. And I think that people often forget that the turning of the wheel is often the most important aspect of these holidays. Is about personal growth and personal moving forward on our spiritual path and moving forward on our path of growth and evolution of who we are, always striving to be better people than we are today, tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and it does. And before we get too much further in, I do want to give out the phone number so that people can call in. That's where I was headed, and I was just talking about the general themes of what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And the number to call in is 646-564-9714. And if you want to call in and just listen, that's perfectly legitimate. We have a lot of callers that people that listen just by calling in. But if you want to talk and share your ideas, your thoughts about the Sabbath, how you celebrated, something you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask, just feel free to call that number at 646-564-9714. And if you want to talk, make sure you hit the 1 key on your telephone, and that will throw up a little flag, and our engineer will be able to talk with you briefly and get you ready to come on the air. So with all of that said, I want to agree with what you said, Robin. And I want to point out that the wheel is a wheel. It doesn't just click. It's not a dial like tick, tick, tick.
Uh-huh.
There's the change. It rotates at a certain speed, and we don't just jump from Sabbath to Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just celebrate the Sabbath. Okay, and then we'll celebrate again in 6 or 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll celebrate again in 7 or 8 weeks. And then we'll celebrate again. And the in-between is the time we should be growing and learning and pondering.
Working on ourselves and our ability to help others.
Yeah. Now, I talk all the time, and I used to think that I was going to find some new theme for the holidays, and that I was going to take, I'm doing the agrarian theme, and I thought, well, I'll do the God and Goddess and their life together another year, and then I'll find something else for a year after that. And I keep getting stuck, not really stuck. I think I found the message that seems to be, at least what I'm working with and what I think a lot of people need to look at, and I share this with people in hopes that will resonate with you, but that agrarian theme, who are the people that celebrated these festivals 1,000, 2,000 years ago?
Right.
You know, what was their life? What were they celebrating? What is it that we are supposed to be celebrating? You know, we can talk about, you know, we're so far removed from our food. Let's face it, the wheel of the year and the festivals we celebrate are about life in community with the land. It's about a life connected to the land.
And the growing cycle and the year that you know, the sun and how long it's in the sky on any given day. All these things were part of what we honored and looked at every day.
Exactly, and we're so far removed from that I think it's important that we continue this theme for a long time, maybe for the rest of my incarnation, because this is something powerful to talk about. Now, the people that were celebrating Lunasa, or Lammas, or Loaf Mass, or whatever you want to call it, this festival originated as the first harvest, the grain harvest. The concept of the sacrificial king, the god that sacrifices himself, the growing grain, to feed his community, to feed his people. The whole Arthurian theme of the king is, you know, the king and the land are one. You know, concepts of the sacred kingship of in the Irish gods, the Tuatha-De Danann, those stories all revolve around this idea that now is the first harvest, and it's about you know, there's that first bit of Thanksgiving. There's a certain amount of gratitude that we should take away from this. You know, the land has given itself to us. Let that sink in for a second. The land itself has grown these grains. The sun has beat down, the rain has fallen, and the bounty of the earth, the nutrients in the ground, and everything that goes into it, these grains have grown through the summer and are now being cut down, smashed against rocks to separate the wheat and the grains from the stems, and then thrown into the air in a windy spot to get out all the extra stuff. All of this so that we can have bread. And it comes right down to it. All of this so we can have bread.
And when you look back, I mean, when you look back at our culture and the evolution of man, it wasn't until we started growing grains and becoming an agricultural society that we stayed in one place, because otherwise we had to be nomadic, because, you know, keeping ahead of depleting the local resources. And so this was a huge change for us evolutionarily. You know, being able to grow grain, and it's, I think, part of why the first harvest and it is a celebration is the grain harvest. Because honestly, you can pick fruit off the trees. You know, before now, in most of the northern hemisphere during the summer, but it isn't until now that the grain would come in, and that was a huge thing. You can be nomadic and pick fruit off of trees as you wander by, but in order to grow grain, it was you've got to stay in one place. Crop. Can't be nomadic and strange. So it changed
the
way we live.
Yeah, the hunter-gatherers didn't give us any of our festivals. You know, it wasn't until we settled down in communities that we had time to even think about spirituality, to develop our relationship with the divine, to the
level,
to this level. I'm saying to this level. to the level where we had organized celebrations and a calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to this level. And everything that we do grows out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with, like you said, Robin, it started with the cultivation of grain.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, the hunter-gatherers gathered. They hunted their food and they gathered nuts and berries. And that was life. When they settled down and started planting. Now, here's the cool part about this, or an interesting part of it. As much as we celebrate the bounty and spend time in gratitude, it's important to remember that we can't eat up all that grain. We've got to keep some for the rest of the winter.
Mm-hmm.
We also got to keep some to plant.
Mm-hmm.
Because that grain that we harvest now is the seed for next year's harvest.
Yeah. Except, of course, these days, because now, you know, large corporations like Monsanto are trying to control seeds, and the grain they grow these days you have to rebuy seeds every season. But I digress.
All righty then.
You can tell that's a pet peeve.
Well, yeah, but the point I'm trying to make
mm-hmm.
is that we need to, even now, with summer and warm months ahead, we still need to be thinking about the future. We need to be planning for next spring already.
And the future of the community on that, everybody was included in that. How much grain do we need to feed how many people in the community? And they had to figure that out, and they had to know, well, if I plant, you know, these three fields, that'll give us enough to get us through next year. But I need to cull back enough seed to plant those three fields. I mean, they had to be able to work this stuff out. They couldn't leave it to chance.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and if the harvest doesn't come in, then, you know, we've got a lot of hungry people. So
Right. Celebrating
the fact that the gods gave us this fruit, this fruit and this grain, rather, you know, that gave us this food, that's, you know, an incredibly powerful motivator for celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude. You know, we don't really talk about gratitude that much these days.
Mm.
You know, we spend a whole lot of time, and I look at social media, and I don't see anybody saying thank you very much. But I see people mm-hmm. whining and bitching about something all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so important to our mental health as humans to recognize just the beauty and the wonder and the and feel gratitude for all that we do have. You know, I was talking with some people earlier, a friend of mine coming back from a meeting, and I was talking about the fact that, you know, I've got it pretty good. You know, I don't have everything I want, but I've got a roof over my head. I've got a beautiful woman who loves me
mm-hmm.
and does her best to take care of me in spite of my efforts to the contrary. you know, we have a little girl that we share now
mm-hmm.
that loves mm-hmm. me and looks up to me. I've got my other children. I've got a job that you know, for the most part, provides pretty well for us, and I enjoy most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, roof over my head, warm place to sleep every night. I mean, how bad do I have it? you know?
And food on the table when you're hungry.
That's right, you know? I don't go hungry. I don't go without love in my life. I mean, I've got a pretty damn good deal. Do I want us to have more? Absolutely. Are we working toward that? Absolutely. But do we have what we need? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I am grateful. I am so blessed to have been given this chance meeting with you 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That gave us this chance to develop and be together. And all mm-hmm. that's gone on in both of our lives to get us to a point where we are, you know, where we are able to be together. You know, it's, I am eternally grateful. So mm-hmm. it is important, you know, it's very important to us as humans to recognize all of those sorts of things, the things that we do have, and find a way to be grateful. And, you know, this is a season for gratitude. So, anyway, I've rambled enough. What have you got?
Well, I just want to say I agree. I think that having the things that we need, there are a lot of people that have a lot less than we do. And being grateful is the first step. Being grateful for what you have is the first step toward understanding what the holidays and what life is really about. Not about the things that you would like to have. It's about having the things you need. Like you said, a warm place to sleep, people who love you, family, good friends, food on the table when you need it, and being content, really. And after that, everything else is, you know, window dressing, and of
luxury.
Course, you still should be grateful for it, but always remember to be grateful for what you have, no matter how little you think you have. There's always somebody out there that has less.
Yeah, there are luxury complaints after that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and...
Agreed.
Yeah, you were saying something I wanted to comment on, and then it flew completely out of my brain because I'm old and addled. But, you know, when it comes down to it, now I remember, if we recognize what we have, we are generally happier people. You know, there's an old saying about I may not have everything I want, but I want everything I have. So, you know, that's the sort of thing that we need to keep constantly in our minds.
Right. Niv just buzzed in to tell me that we have somebody on the line that would like to have a question. I think her name is Carrie.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and bring her on.
Okay.
Hello.
This is Carrie.
Hello.
Hi, Carrie.
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Did you have a question or something that you wanted to talk about?
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a beeping in my ear.
That's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. You were wanting to comment about the show tonight and our conversation.
Absolutely. I'm Carrie from Lau Marais.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good, how are you?
You're well. It's good to have you with us.
We celebrated with homemade bread, wine, cheese, and grapes. And then after we had performed our ritual, our high priestess had put on a circular plate one slice of bread cut in half, two slices of cheese, and then three grapes. And it was to represent our coven and our numbers and our unity with the circle.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what was the theme of your ritual? What did you guys, did you do an energy raising?
We called our quarters, and then we also had to call down the god with us, or the goddess, to whatever one that we were to perform.
Did you raise energy for a specific purpose for this time of the year, or no?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So it was a pretty classic ritual. Did you come away with a lesson learned?
Yeah, an incredible lesson. It was something that I think I was wild about for a couple of days that I didn't realize that I could actually harvest within myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, then your high priestess did her job, and you did your job as a participant in the ritual, so that's wonderful. And, you know, for me, this path is always about personal growth and honoring the gods in that way and not getting stuck and sitting still and stagnating. So, good for you.
Yeah, well, the gods want us to be happy. They want us to grow. We're here to experience life and to learn lessons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole
Absolutely.
Point of incarnating into this bag that carries us around. So that is very cool that you got some growth and some learning and it sounds like more confidence. I'm hearing you say that you're coming away from this knowing more about yourself and your own strength.
And, every ritual we do is about that, but this one particularly, I don't know, it hit a core with me. It was really something that was in me. Just everything just seemed to chime together.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful when those moments happen and you have that little, I call it like a mini Kundalini leap. Things come together and you just go, I get it.
Those aha moments are wonderful,
yeah.
Personally pitching.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they are.
Well, Carrie, thank you very much for calling in and sharing. Let's see, we're just about at a break time. I want to remind all of our listeners that we are taking callers tonight, as you just heard, and that number is 646-564-9714. And we'll be taking your calls, but right now I think we're going to take a short break. Carrie, you're welcome to stick around after the break, or through the break, and talk with us some more afterwards. So everybody stick around, and we're going to listen to a song called Lunasa by Darv the Bard, and we'll be right back. Thanks.
Thank you. spirit of the earth. Can you hear the spirit of the earth? Can you hear them call? Can you hear them sing? Can you hear the spirit of the earth? Can you hear the spirit of the earth? Can you? Can you hear the spirit of the earth? Can you hear them call? Can you hear them sing? Luna star, it's the life and the death of the Gorgon. Luna star, life and rebirth of the Gorgon. Luna star, it's the life and the death of the Gorgon. Luna star, life and rebirth of the Gorgon.
Manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, man. All right. And welcome back to Under a Shady Tree with Carrie and Robin. And,
hello.
Hey, darling. So that was a very nice caller before the break. We had Carrie call in, and that was very cool, you know, hearing about her experience. And we are taking callers tonight at 646-564-9714. And, you know, please call in and share your experiences with the holiday. You know, we were talking before the break, and then, you know, Carrie called in. We were talking a little bit about gratitude and just being happy with what we have.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know,
life was much simpler back then.
Yes, and it's funny. One of the Buddhist tenets is to find happiness and be satisfied with the things you have. That desire causes the evil and the dissatisfaction inside your, you know, personage, but also in the world. And that once you come to accept what you have and be grateful for it, then it's time to move forward and frees you to attain other goals. But it isn't until you find that place within yourself where you are happy and satisfied with what you have that you can be at peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, contentment is certainly about finding happiness with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've used that word a good bit lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said it to you. You know, I am content.
Mm-hmm.
I am at peace. You know, are we going to always work to strive to have more and to make our life better? Absolutely.
Sure.
But am I, but I'm content in the moment, in the now. I have everything I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of things that I want. There's all kinds of things I want to give you. There's all kinds of things I want to give our little girl. All kinds of things I want to give to the community. But right now, where I am is still pretty damn good. So, you know, gratitude and contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. And this time of year is part of that learning process. You know, looking to the future. Planning, preparing,
mm-hmm.
Not sitting back and hoarding and eating up all the grain and then, you know, starving through the winter or barely making it through the winter with nothing to plant.
Right.
You know, that's part of the lesson of the Sabbath as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of the harvests include that component of what are we going to keep back for next year.
Yes.
Maybe not so much the fruit harvest because, you know, the trees, you know, we don't harvest the trees themselves. But
mm-hmm.
the grain and then the final harvest, you know, that's the culling of the herd, and we'll be talking about that in a few months. We'll be talking about the culling of the herd. And really you start thinking about, you know, you start looking at you know, and these two, the grain harvest and the final harvest, are tied together in that you have to also not only feed your people, but you got to feed what animals you keep. How many animals
are
you going to keep? How many do you need to breed? How are you going to feed them? How many can you keep? And all of this gets intermingled. So while we're thinking about the future, we're also thinking about the next, you know, the next two harvest festivals, as well
mm-hmm.
as the spring, and, you know, before the animals can go out and graze on their own, we have to feed those
mm-hmm.
that we keep through the winter.
That's
so,
right.
You know, all of this is intermingled in the wheel turn.
Mm-hmm.
And the wheel turns. It doesn't click from Sabbath to Sabbath.
Yeah.
The wheel turns.
Yep. One of the things I like to do at this time of year, and Carrie said that they had it for their ritual, and we had it as well for our ritual this past week, is to make bread at this time of year. Making of bread, the kneading of the bread, the letting it rise, the whole process is almost like a working meditation. You have to be connected to what you're doing. Because if you let it rise too much or you knead it too much, you can have less than wonderful bread when you're done. It really is a process you need to repeat time and time again to really get it right. There are some recipes that are easier than others. I would not recommend that if you decide to make your bread, you're going to make a fancy French bread right out of the gate. I'd probably stick to an easy bread that you can put in a loaf pan and cook in the oven for the first time. But it is a wonderful thing to do with kids to celebrate this holiday, with other coven members to celebrate this holiday, because it's immersing yourself in that grain harvest and doing some physical work and honoring what our ancestors had to do in order to bring us to where we are now. And, when you talk about gratitude, you can as you're making it, think to yourself, gee, I'm really glad I don't have to make bread every day the way they did 100 years ago if they wanted bread. We can go to the store and buy it. You know, what's the old saying, this is the best thing since sliced bread? Well, there's a reason that's a common saying. It's because at one point, not that long ago, really, it was common that people had to make bread almost on a daily basis in their homes.
If they bought a loaf of bread, they had to slice it themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, not such an easy thing if you've ever had to do that. You better have a good bread knife.
We talked about other people's celebrations. Maybe we should talk a little bit more about ours as well and share with our listeners. We talked a little bit about this on Tuesday night, but we didn't really delve into it. It was a truly wondrous and amazing day.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the gifts that I got from all of it started in the morning. For those of our listeners that have not already heard, this weekend was Robin's birthday. So she wanted a new teapot to steep her tea in, and I told her that I would take her to the antique store and get her a teapot, that was going to be my birthday present. And
very happy because I love old things.
So we go to the antique store, and she hands me this teapot with some primitive pear art on it, little feet and a wire handle. And it was one of the first ones that she looked at. And then she hands it to me, and this teapot called me. I mean, it was like Harry Potter getting his wand. The energy shot up my arm, and it just said, take me home. And, Robin and I both being sensitive to such things, for some reason it really hit me a lot harder, but we both saw the same image after we spent some time with it. And this was apparently owned by a happy little old lady, grandmotherly. The interesting part of this is that we both saw her pour with her left hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's definitely unusual. Unusual enough that when we both saw that, this was clearly a left-handed woman that had owned this teapot and passed it along in such a way that it found its way to me. Now, Robin eventually found another teapot and a matching sugar canister. So we both now have teapots for our evening tea ritual that we celebrate every night we're together. And then we get back to the house, and I start the charcoal, and I'm getting ready to put on a pork loin. People start showing up with food.
Mm-hmm.
3 racks of ribs, hot dogs. We had some sausages. We ended up feeding, 10 adults and 6 children or something like that? I mean, we fed a small army.
Yeah.
And I love to cook on the grill. I love to smoke and use indirect heat, and I had a chance to exercise that and to...
feed our extended family and community.
And I got a chance to provide.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty cool. That was another gift. And to see the look on people's faces and to hear the near silence around the table. I mean, it was as silent and quiet as this bunch ever gets.
And they were all stuffing their face with their delicious ribs.
Yeah, and all you could hear was teeth hitting bone as they're gnawing on these ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And... There was gratification in that. I mean, it was certainly mm-hmm. gratifying to hear all these people chewing instead of talking, because this bunch loves to talk, and when they're doing something besides talking, you got their attention. And so it was incredible, and that's all before ritual. And then the ritual itself. We had 4 generations of people from the mm-hmm. mountain all together in this circle.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jess had brought that loaf of bread and the honey butter, and we blessed that and passed that mm-hmm. around in the circle. Mm-hmm. And we raised energy and we celebrated being together.
Mm-hmm.
And... we had, 5 children, 4 or 5 children in the circle.
Yeah.
Young children, 9 and younger,
mm-hmm.
participating with us, learning our ways. The next generation is begun to learn and to be ready to pass it on and take their rightful place in their time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's more you want to say about the ritual, and I'll go ahead and slide out and step aside, but it was just that wonderful an experience for me.
Well, yeah, ritual is always a touchstone for my heart. I love having people come and join in circle and sharing energy with each other, raising energy together, and just sharing and talking. For me, rituals are always about reaching out energetically and sort of commingling with my friends and people that I love. And I was really, really happy that the Coven Elder Jackie made it for ritual. That was wonderful. And it was also wonderful to have her great grandkids there and my daughter. Was there and participating, and it just warms your heart when you step into a circle and you look over and you see your own child standing there completely interested and wanting to participate and knowing that she doesn't have to be there, because I never once have ever told her she had to participate. She's just always wanted to be a part of it because mommy was there, and now, her new, daddy, as she likes to call you, is there. And so... this is just something she wants to be a part of. And if for no other reason...
She likes to call me daddy because I am.
Exactly. Exactly. And
but yeah, you're right. And she huffed. She actually huffed when she wasn't allowed to call a quarter because we'd already given out all the time.
That's right.
She huffed. That's right. She wanted to call a quarter.
Yes, she did.
So...
I promised her next time.
Let's go ahead. We're going to have to, it's very cool. We're going to have to start incorporating the kids more actively, which is mm-hmm. so, so cool. Now, we've got Niv in the queue. I'm going to go ahead and bring her in and let her talk a little bit as well. And we are 10 minutes from the top of the hour, but I wanted to get Niv's input on the ritual that she led this weekend. So, Niv, how are you?
Hey, how are everybody?
Hello.
We had I saw that Carrie called. We had my coven is called Lilith Moray, and we're a small group. It's a teaching group, and they are just now learning their Sabbaths and their quarters. And as you and I had said earlier, Robin, it's kind of hard to call down both deities at the same time. I've been doing that, but I am completely wasted afterwards, so we delegated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good for them. They actually understood. No wonder you're so smacked out, wiped out afterwards. They just never did understand that. They experienced energy they'd never experienced before. I thought the one girl was literally, you know, she was glowing red. I was like, oh my gosh, breathe, you can breathe. But it was good for them because they needed to experience that. This was their first time doing that. Mm-hmm. And I was very proud of them. Even Carrie was glowing. Her shoulders was just as red. It's like, okay, you guys, we can cool off afterwards. Just breathe here. I was afraid that they were going to pass out. I have seen that before.
I have too, yeah.
And, you know, once they, you know, they grounded, I said, you know, plant your feet. Just let it kind of flow through you, and you'll understand what happens to me when I facilitate. And they, you know, continue to raise their energy, and I really thought that we were going to blow the patio roof off. It was that intense. But they did really well, and they were a little shaky when we was closing, but that's okay. And then we do a lot of our rituals out on my back patio, which is absolutely beautiful. And my husband built last year. So at any rate, we broke our bread while we're still in circle, basically. We did not completely close. And like Carrie said, they got the slice of bread, the two pieces of cheese, and the grits. And they were, you know, very receptive of what was going on around them, but you could see them sort of glazy-eyed. Like, oh, God, I've got them drunk. I can't let them out of the house. But they did really well, and now they understand, other than calling quarters, what it means to truly draw down.
Right.
Plus, too, you know, we were in that full moon. Yeah, they got whammy.
And now it's time to ground and release all the
energy. Yes. You have to ground and breathe. Please breathe. But, I mean, it was good for them, you know. I remember the first time I did it, I thought Jackie was going to, you know, shove me into the hot tub. Maybe you got to breathe. Oh, okay. But you forget. You know, this is an energy that you've never experienced before. And I explained to them, I said, you know, it's going to come and it's going to, you're going to feel something else happen to your body. It is a warm feeling, so just let it flow. Just, you know, keep this going in the circle. This way everybody feels what you're feeling. And they just didn't want to let go. They liked it. But I was very proud of them. They did very well for the first time.
Well, very cool. Well, let's see. We are rapidly approaching the top of the hour. And I'm thinking if we get another caller, we've got We might have time. Might have time for one more caller. Robin, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
I got knocked out, but I'm back.
Okay. So I was saying that we are rapidly approaching the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we might have time for one more caller if somebody wants to call in real quick at 646-564-9714. You know, we're not like all of the Sabbaths launches a season. And it's important that we remember that. So let's go ahead and do our business and talk about how people can get in touch with us. Of course, the email address for the station is surn.org@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
And you can get in touch with any member of the staff, the host, panelists, ritualists on our Tuesday night ritual. Anybody, if you want to get in touch with somebody, you can just email surn.org@gmail.com. Put the name of the person that you're trying to direct the email to in the subject line. It makes it easier for us to direct that information. And that includes guests. If you're a guest on one of our shows and you want to communicate with them, and you don't get an email address or contact information when you're hearing the show, you can always email the radio station and we'll help you get in touch with that host or that guest. Let's see, if you want to reach Robin and I, you can contact us at, look for our Facebook page, is Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings. The email address that we share is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And you can also look at the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page. That has all the show announcements and stuff like that. If you're trying to get in touch with Robin, you can look at her Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page. Look for her on Facebook. You're Robin A. McKean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're the only Robin A. McKean, so it's easier to find you. There's a few other lucky devils that have the same name, Terry Power. So you have to look for the Terry Power in North Copley, Pennsylvania. It also says on there something about the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, so you can find me there. My public figure page is Rev Terry Power HP, or follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. And I think that sums it up. Anything I left out?
I think that's everything.
All right. Well, looks like we're about done for the evening. So did you have any final thoughts you wanted to share? And then I'll share a couple of thoughts and we'll say goodnight.
Just quickly, that whenever you're planning any kind of ritual for a group of people, keep in mind how many people are going to be attending and what things are going to be practical to do together. And, you know, I really like it when people do ritual off the cuff because it comes from their heart, especially if it's a group that hasn't worked a lot together. People get so hung up on having to write it and make it rhyme and have it be perfect. If you're going to work with your friends and you're going to try to create a coven, just let it flow. You'll get so much more out of it energetically. And just keep in mind the purpose of the holiday, and you can all maybe spend 5 minutes talking about what you want to achieve in your ritual.
Okay. It sounds like you had more to say and you got cut off there. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. That was weird. Did you hear that?
No, all I heard was you were talking and then it clicked off like you weren't talking, like you weren't there anymore.
Yeah, I had a message come on that said that my voice went locked up and said from the person I was calling. It was very weird.
Yeah, you must have cheeked out somewhere.
Yeah, but in closing, just remember to keep it simple and let it happen. don't force it, you'll enjoy it a whole lot more. And, you know, looking forward to the next holiday at Maven, another holiday, it's another harvest, it's another chance to get together, be grateful for what you have, and celebrate with your family and friends. And if you don't have family and friends, get out in your community. There's a lot of pagan pride events coming up in the fall around that holiday. Go out and meet people. Be a part of the community. You do not have to be alone. I guess that's really what I want to say.
Okay. Share in community. All right. And your connection is getting very broken. So I'm going to wrap up with a couple of final thoughts, and some of them echo what you were just saying. This is a period of time from Lunasa through to Maven where we need to be thinking about gratitude. We'll celebrate another Thanksgiving or two through the holiday, but remember the sacrifice of the land. Remember our connection to the land. The grain harvest is all about the bounty of the earth, the sacrificial king. And remember what we have. Think about what you have and think about what you want to have. But mostly be grateful. Look around and be grateful because the world is an amazing, bountiful place and all you have to do is connect. And again, just express gratitude because, you know, an attitude of gratitude will carry you a lot further than, you know, being Eeyore.
Absolutely.
Find peace with what you have. Build toward the future and certainly work to be better. But finding peace with what you do have in the moment is the key to true happiness. So with that, I am going to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.